We turn to God's Word as found in Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and we're going to look at the first 24 verses. This is God's Word. May we be most attentive to it. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Thus far, the reading of his word, may he add his blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of it. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this present digital age, when swiping some electronic device with a finger that moves one image to the next, it's hard for some to relate to the older generation's photo album that had all the old Polaroids affixed to paper with those sticky black corners or that clear film over the page. The idea was to turn the pages slowly and absorb all the memories of those captured shots, usually 4 to 8 photos per page. Well, Psalm 18 is David's album, and he is reflecting upon a lifetime of God's protection through many of his trials and ordeals. And this is not one of those psalms in which David is appealing for help, but one in which he's thanking God for his covenant promise and deliverance. Many of us spend more of our prayer time anticipating what might happen tomorrow or what we hope will happen tomorrow. This psalm serves notice that we are to reflect spiritually as well, praising God for previous blessings and thanking him for his preserving hand. Our prayers should show our affection, our humility, our gratitude for the great things he has done. He has been and always will be our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. While it is not always the case that we have the precise context to a psalm, we do have some particulars here for Psalm 18. It might be the case that you have heard these words before, these words from Psalm 18, and if you've read 2 Samuel 22, well, you have. These very words can be found in that chapter at the close of David's life. David had been reflecting on how God saved him countless times from Saul, from the hands of the Philistines, and many others who wanted him dead, including his very own son, Absalom. And there were his own sins of adultery, murder, and pride. Well, God delivered David from David. So as he ponders his life, his tired bones, knowing that he's about to breathe his last, he pauses. He pauses to praise God for his faithfulness, for God's faithfulness. And likewise, beloved, we need to pause and heed the lesson that in the busyness of life, in the tyranny of the moment, in the craziness of our worlds, stop. Stop. Pause. And reflect. And pray. In my middle school teaching days, we had DEAR. D-E-A-R. It was an acronym for Drop Everything and Read. Well, maybe we should have more of those kinds of timeouts and perhaps call it DEEP, D-E-A-P, drop everything and pray. But Psalm 18 is more of a malice aforethought psalm. It's very intentional. David is mentally pouring through his greatest hits, which are really his greatest times of greatest struggle, which have been met with the greatest comfort known to man, or what David calls his rock, his fortress and deliverer, his God in whom he took refuge, his shield and the horn of his salvation, his stronghold. Because this psalm is one of the longer ones in the Psalter with 50 verses, we're just going to take one Sunday today and then another one next week to look at, to absorb the following questions. How are we to address his providence? How are we to respond to his protection? And how are we to conclude our praise? This morning, we'll just take up the first question. How are we to address his providence? That is, his preserving. That is, his governing all his creatures and all their actions. Verses 1 through 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Beloved, when David set aside his royal robes and wearing just a linen ephod, the occasion was the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He was so delighted, he humbled himself, much to the scorn of his wife, Michal, who thought he had made a fool of himself. She was disgusted at his lack of royal decorum, accusing him of vulgarity as going around half naked in full view of the servants. What Michal did not comprehend was the intense adoration that David had for his God. David was a man of deep passion, and his desire for exuberant worship can be seen in the opening verses of this very psalm. This is not about him, beloved. It's not about David. It's about God, his God. It's not even about him glorifying God. Again, not about a God, but about my God, his God, your God, my strength, my rock, and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. There is this layer of intimacy wherein David is celebrating a blessed possession, this God. This is my God. How much is he your God? You see, if he is my God, I must be his possession. So how are we to address this now? How are we to address his providence, his governing over us, his providing for us? With intense adoration. Intense adoration. How close are you to God? Take a moment now to reflect upon that question. How close are you to God? How close do you want to be with your God? So close that you abase yourself, that you are obedient to those whom God has placed over you, perhaps like your parents or other authority. So close that you fall prostrate, that you bow the knee and confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. David knew something about himself. He knew that he was always in need. He knew that he was nothing without God, and that his greatness came from the strength above. Again, listen to these words. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. What would the devil and his minions do is not deny God, but to get you to think that it is not God alone who provides. Satan attacks the sovereignty of God by having us think we need to be team God. We need to be team God. And the point is that it's no longer God, but it's God with a little help from us. Or maybe it's we with a little help from God. So God puts things in motion, but now it's by your fortitude, your strength, your wit, your personality that will get you through the day. And that's a lie. That's the very lie that tripped up Adam and Eve, that they would be like God. It's a brilliant plan on the part of the devil to get you to think that, well, yeah, God exists, but he needs your help. Or maybe you're fine with a little help from God. And so what he wants you to do is don't think after God's thoughts, but think after your own thoughts with an occasional tepid prayer. Did you catch that? Go ahead and pray with the idea in mind that it's always going to be your will. You're praying for God to aid your will. Now, in contrast to that, note what David is doing in Psalm 18, especially with the military motifs in the psalm that speak to David's security. He knows it's all about God's will. From the slaying of Goliath to the conquering of armies, David was a man of war who literally wore the blood splatter from his sword going into one man's body after another. He wore that blood. Today, we have, of course, laser-guided missiles and drones that kill from many miles away. But David, understand this, David saw the eyes of those whom he killed, the enemy, those whom God had helped him deliver from one military campaign to the next. In fact, he was such a warrior king that he was disqualified from building the temple because, well, he had too much blood on his hands. Too much blood was shed. And so the temple of the Lord was not to be built by him. David could make preparations for that temple, but it would actually be built by his son Solomon. It's too easy to read through the nouns that David lists in verse 2 as just some extra emphasis he is making. These metaphors all have special meaning, and even more broadly for us today. Rock, for example, fortress, address the refuge we have in Christ. How often do we read the Psalms that he is the rock of our salvation? Shield and stronghold connote protection. And later in verse 30, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. And then horn, all about God's strength. David then lays out the grounds for his adoration, verses 3 through 5. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. He restates how he called upon the Lord in verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. David is not trying to be dramatic here. He is simply spiritually reflecting on one deliverance after another, and how God brought him out of the pit of destruction. And this is how he did. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. This awesome depiction of God's protection continues through verse 19. And next week, we're going to look at the remaining questions. How are we to respond to his protection? How are we to conclude our praise? But there's still more to say about how are we to address his providence. So I want to zero in for a moment here on verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. In God's providence, beloved, we can be brought to our knees. All of us here have had days, if not seasons, of joys and celebrations, and we've had days, if not seasons, of sorrow and pain and anxiety, hurt, disease, frustration, setbacks. Like we are perpetually drowning and throwing out our hands to be rescued. We've been there. And it seems like no one's out there to get a hold of us. And we are gasping for air and struggling in our proverbial drowning with our hands flailing. Yes, we have been there. And we just want to be pulled out, don't we? We just want to be pulled out and brought to a safe place. David's been there. He has been there. When he thought things could not get worse, they got worse. But he never lost sight of his refuge. Even when he thought his own machinations, like pretending to be a madman with spill running down his beard for fear of Achish, the king of Gath. Yeah, David had his low moments. But by the grace of God, he came to his spiritual senses. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. He cried. And he cried. And he cried. And God heard him. God heard him. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. But God not only heard him, he delivered him, as verse 19 states. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Beloved, we are to address his providence with great adoration because the deliverer that David received reflects the greater delivery that we have received through Jesus Christ. You have been saved from the curse of the law. You have been spared the fiery judgment, the wrath of God, not because the Father delighted in you, you wretched sinner, but that he delighted in his only begotten Son. Yet, it is in his Son that you have been counted worthy. And this David knew. His righteousness is Christ's righteousness. We saw that last week in Psalm 17. Verses 20 through 24 of Psalm 18. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his sight. Now, David's adoration is not in himself, but in God and all that God has done for him. He brought him to a broad place, just like he delivered Israel from the Exodus into the promised land. How much greater, beloved, do we have it that our promised land is Christ himself. He is our rock. He is our fortress, our God in whom we take refuge, our shield, the horn of our salvation, our stronghold. If God, through the Son, can take you from the cords of death and into his marvelous life, can he not take you or deliver you from your daily struggles? You see, so often we think, yes, he did that magnificent work on the cross, but that's something in the past. That's done. I'm here now. Where are you now, O Lord? And God is telling you, I am here. And I sent my Son to deliver you from the cross in the past. And through the Son, through the Spirit of the Son, and through the Spirit of the Father, that very same Spirit, I have come to deliver you from your daily struggles. This week, look through your spiritual photo album and see what he has done for you and praise him for that. And because you are not yet a finished work, there will be more pages in that album. Occasions in which he has delivered. We return to this psalm next week to examine our response to his protection and to see how we are to conclude our prayers. This psalm is a beautiful piece about his providence, his protection, and his praise.